This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:37 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Wong Xiaoning and Philip C. We're now turning our attention to Turkey because over the weekend, Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan declared 10 ambassadors from Western countries persona non grata. This means unwelcome. And he instructed his foreign minister to expel them as soon as possible. But he's since changed his mind, eventually saying that the joint statement from the 10 countries was a great insult to Turkey. So in Turkey, one day you're in, the next day you're out, but you know, the very next day you can be back in.
Welcome to Turkey. But the reason why they are receiving such hostility is because they released a statement asking for the release of the activist Osman Kavala. Now, some background on Kavala. He's a prominent philanthropist who has been in jail for more than 4 years over protests and a coup attempt. Kavala has denied all charges and will face life imprisonment if found guilty, although he has not been convicted. Now, this is all happening at the back of the country's collapsing economy and the president's waning popularity.
Now, as we know, the Turkish currency lira has lost almost a quarter of its value so far this year. So the question is, will this backtrack save the country from further turmoil, both economically and politically?
So for some thoughts on this, we're speaking to Dr. James Dorsey, Senior Fellow at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies and the Middle East Institute. Good morning, James. Always good to have you. Let's start with, I guess, getting an understanding of what happened. Why did Erdogan react so strongly in the first place over calls from these 10 countries to release activist Osman Kavala? And I guess it should be made known that these 10 countries are from the West, the US, Canada, France, Finland, etc. Why was his reaction so severe?
Good morning. It's always a pleasure to be with you. I think, first of all, one's got to realize that Erdogan is a very emotional man. On the one hand, he's been a brilliant politician, but he also shoots from the hip. And increasingly, he has been playing to the nationalist sentiments in Turkey, particularly because his ratings, popularity ratings are going down. He could well lose the next election if the opinion polls are correct. He's been steering an authoritarian course since the 2016 failed coup against him, and has been facing increasing pressure, particularly in the case of Osama Kavala, from the West. And therefore, this was his response. I don't think that he really wanted those ambassadors to leave. And I think that was actually quite clear from the beginning.
So do you think he was just trying to distract from the current situation in Turkey? Because there are analysts who say that this is as a result of the bad economy that the country is facing, plus the declining lira.
Well, I don't think it's a question of distracting from the current situation, because the economic problems are problems that everybody in Turkey is experiencing. And therefore, they're going to feel that in their pocket. They're going to feel that every day. And whether or not you have a dispute with various countries, foreign countries, isn't going to make a difference for their daily life. I think what he did want to do is, Turks are very irritable when it comes to nationalist sentiment and the sentiment that their sense of nationalism is being impinged upon. And that's what he was referring to. He's trying to, if you wish, garner or curry national anger, because that would strengthen him and serve his purpose. I don't think that he really wanted those ambassadors to leave, certainly not on the eve of a Group of 20 summit in Italy later this week, where he's going to be meeting many of the leaders of these countries.
Yeah, so I'm perplexed because their elections are in 2023, so he has actually time. So running up to the election, closer to that date, do you expect more aggressive decisions from him to kind of portray his nationalistic credentials?
Well, first of all, yes, the elections are scheduled for 2023. That doesn't mean that they will be held in 2023. What you are seeing, which is a trend that's not just in Turkey, but we've seen that in the Czech Republic successfully executed, and we're seeing that happen in Hungary, whereby the opposition realizes that a divided opposition that goes into an election against what is a strong leader and a leader that has been in office for a significant amount of time with a significant popular base, that they're going to be, that that's going to be divide and rule. And so what you're seeing is that the opposition in Turkey, like it did elsewhere, is trying to come together and to form one block against Erdogan. In the case of Turkey, on top of everything else, is what the polls show is not only that Erdogan could lose against a bloc like that, but two of his potential rivals, the mayors of Ankara and of Istanbul, if he were to go head-to-head with them today, he would lose against them. So it's very well possible that the an opposition that unites primarily on the notion, let's get rid of Erdogan, will push for an early election. So that could be earlier.
And James, what does this latest saga say about Turkey's relations with the West? You did mention earlier that he never really had an intention to expel the 10 ambassadors. But I think relations between Turkey and Western countries have been quite strained recently. So how are they going to repair this? Will they try to repair this?
Obviously, this further strains relations. But keep a few things in mind. First of all, Turkey is anchored into Western structures. With other words, it is the second largest standing military in NATO. Turkey is a member of NATO. It's a member of the Council of Europe. It has a stalled, it has an accession process to become a member of the European Union, even though those prospects don't look well. I think that by definition, in a world in which you're seeing a rebalancing of power, a country like Turkey, which is a regional power and stands at the bridge or the edge of Europe and Asia, that by definition, its relationships were going to change as part of this changing world order. They're changing somewhat acrimoniously because of the character of Erdogan, both his own irritability, his emotionless, but also the way he has conducted himself since the failed 2016 coup, in which he has cracked down on any dissidents in the country.
Can we look at things from the perspective of those 10 countries that were impacted by this announcement and, of course, the backtracking of it? Do you think that they will change their relationship with Turkey or with Erdogan?
I don't think that this is going to fundamentally change things. The strains with particularly the United States on the one hand over a host of issues, which include the acquisition of a Russian anti-defense system, which also include the presence in the United States of Fethullah Gulen, the cleric that Erdogan blames for the 2016 coup, and they include a recent court judgment that will allow proceedings to go ahead against a state-owned bank for its dealing with Iran. And, of course, finally, with the West, the fact that Turkey was graylisted by the Financial Action Task Force, which is an anti-money laundering, anti-terrorism funding watchdog, all of those things don't bode well for the relationship. But I think both parties need each other. Turkey does not want a rupture with the West, really. It wants to restructure that relationship. But it needs that relationship, and the same is true for the West and for the United States. Certainly, for geopolitical reasons, in Europe you also have the migration issue.
All right, James, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Dr. James Dorsey, senior fellow at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies and the Middle East Institute, talking to us about what's happening in Turkey and the kind of implications that could arise from it and whether it will harm relations with the West. Not really. Well, they're strained, but they do they're so intertwined, really, when you think about it. And we have a good reason for wanting to follow what happens in Turkey, because we have considerable investments in Turkey.
Yeah, two come to mind. One, of course, is Malaysian Airport's investment in one of the local airports, plus IAH also has healthcare facilities there. So Turkey is an important trading partner to us, and it's seen as like a gateway to Europe and also to Asia. So yeah, we keep our eyes very close on this. But the Turkey lira down 35%. Unemployment is 12%, while inflation is 17%. Painful times.
19.5% and bank policy rate slashed to 18% interest rates. Yeah, crazy numbers.
The economy is not in good shape.
All right. 7:48 in the morning. We're taking a quick break. And then after that, can e-voting be a viable option in the upcoming elections? Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.